Hugh stared at her. He'd known Georgina since she was 5 years old. Their mothers were close friends, so they spent their summers together. Not that he'd seen her much in the past 5 years. In fact, he hadn't had a proper conversation with her since her husband's funeral. And that was, what, 2 years ago?
Hugh?
Carolyn asked, the mockery gone from her voice as well.
There's no need to make a production of it, he said,
wondering exactly when Georgina's eyes had grown so grave. She had spent her childhood falling about laughing, yet now she was so clearly a matron, a widow, even though she couldn't be older than 25, since she was the same age as Carolyn. She was sitting bolt upright, her eyes focused on his.
Richelieu threw me, he admitted.
Carolyn gasped.
But you get thrown all the time.
The corner of his mouth twitched.
It goes with the territory. You can't break in a horse, let alone the particular horses I fancy, without cracking a bone now and then.
But obviously this was different, Georgina stated. What happened?
I've been out, he admitted reluctantly.
Out?
Carolyn echoed.
Out of what?
Out of my mind. Flat out. In a coma, or so they call it.
For days?
Georgina put in. Her voice was steady, calm. Of course, she had watched her husband die, and it took the man months, even a year.
A week, he said, resigned. I was out a week.
Why didn't I know?
Carolyn cried. Her big blue eyes were filling with tears, which was precisely why he hadn't meant to tell her at all.
Pickering has explicit instructions what to do in case of an event like this, and he followed them.
There was a moment of silence in the room.
Pickering is your groomsman? Georgina asked.
Valet, he said. I'd trust him with my life.
Did he even call for a doctor? Was that in the plan?
Of course. There was nothing they could do. You know that. After a kick in the head, you either wake up or you don't.
And if you do wake up, you might well be injured for life,
Georgina said. She was very white in the face, so white that her freckles stood out. She'd always had pale skin. It went with all that fiery red hair.
I'm not injured, he said shortly. I'm fully compos mentis, as you can see.
Not that he hadn't feared just that, particularly when his vision didn't come back at first. It was during the day, when he lay in the dark after waking, that he realized the time had come to produce an heir. That, or stop training horses. A wife was infinitely preferable.
Oh, Hugh!
Carolyn said with a wail.
I can't bear it!
He went over and picked her up as if she was still a little girl, then sat down with her in his lap.
I'm fine, Caro, he said, patting her back. You know that training horses can be risky. You've seen me fall off 100 times.
I don't understand why you can't just hire someone to do the dangerous part, she said,
leaning against his shoulder.
Other people hire stable masters.
He had a sudden memory of holding his sister like this when she was much smaller, and she used to suck her thumb. That would be after their mother died, he guessed, when he was 9, and she was only 5 or 6.
Working with horses is my life, he said simply. I do have a stable master. Hell, I have 3 of them, because of the stables in Scotland and Kent. But when a horse like Richelieu comes along, I'm the only one to touch him.
Why can't you work with normal horses, then? She cried. Why must it be these terrible Arabians? So violent and uncontrolled.
They aren't violent by nature, he said,
picturing the gorgeous animals he spent his life with.
Richelieu is high-spirited, and it's a game for him to try to best me. If I kill his spirit, I kill his ability to win.
I don't know a single other earl who spends his days in such a dangerous manner,
Carolyn said, starting to scold, which meant that she was feeling better. He stood up, put her on her feet, and grinned down at her.
There's my shrewish little sister back.
It serves you right if I'm a shrew. You drive me to distraction, Hugh. I hardly ever see you.